So Sarah, you're going to be the first lady to testify. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. And I'd like to just share my short testimony and give thanks to God. I think it all happened when we moved to to Windhoek over a year ago, where I've really seen the grace of God, His favor, and just His love in general and His faithfulness. Coming here was just God. I just ended my contract with a mine I was working for in Swakop, and my husband happened to also just ended his contract. So we're both jobless and having a baby. And here we are thinking, Lord, what now? And here comes God in His faithfulness. My husband happened to get this job here in Windhoek, and we were not really people that would love to come back to Windhoek. Not him, because he's been here for 7 years, and he's like, I don't really want to live in Windhoek again. And me growing and born in a small town, not really, you know, you have this perception of Windhoek, it's a big world, all these things happening, and here I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to Windhoek. And also the decision to just leave church, you know, coming here was also a bit of a, didn't sit very well. So we prayed about it, and we said, okay, fine, I think this is what God wants. He accepted the offer, which came just right in time. As I said, we were both jobless at the time. Came here, and I think God has just met me at the time where I am as a woman, also as a wife and as a mother. As I said, He's really shown me His grace and His faithfulness, and that trusting Him is the only option. The place we got was also just God, because when we were looking for a place in Windhoek, I was specific where I want to live. And also my husband's like, no, we're raising a child. We don't really want to stay in a very noisy environment. So we live in Academia, and the price, nobody thought would live there for that price. And when I put it up on this Facebook page, everybody was like, oh, I don't think you can get a place for that price in that area. But how many of you know that God is really amazing and He's faithful to His children? Yeah. So we got a place, very beautiful, two-bedroom. We love it. It's safe and secure and everything. Moving there, I'm like thinking, okay, so now it's one person's salary. We're living in Windhoek and we've got a child. How are we going to make this? Number one, the first thing that really stood out for me was we're not paying water. Even up to now, we're supposed to, but we're not paying water. The landlord is like, no, it's fine. I'm going to, you know, you guys, there's a few things that still needs to fix. That's been over a year ago, and he never came back and said, okay, you guys need to start paying water. That's favor. That's really favor. And then we had a shower that was constantly hot. We didn't have to put on our geyser. That's favor. Because it means we don't have to put on extra electricity. You know, God is just this way of working out. And then there was the issue of us having to come to church, and we didn't really have a car. And we were trying to save up for a car. So my husband said, look, I think we can walk. It's fine. So we walk from Academia over a year ago. We'd walk from Academia to church. And I've gone from saying, Lord, we need a car, to saying, Lord, thank you for healthy legs. Thank you for healthy legs that I can just wake up this morning and walk to church. I remember sharing with Pastor Carl where there was an incident where we had a year-end function last year at work at my husband's, and a couple came to pick us up. And this couple, they wanted to dance the whole night, and we really wanted to go home. And it was so late. We didn't get a cab that night, and I was so tired. And I felt like, okay, this couple still wants to dance, and we're there because we're thinking, these people brought us here, so we just have to go with them. So it really, for me, it really touched my heart. I said, Lord, you brought us here. Why does it have to be so difficult? But God knew what He was doing. He had to deal with my pride, bring me to a place of being humble. We eventually got home that night. So, okay, after over 12, I think, walking to church, that challenged me so much, just to being humble. There were times where I started using that whole situation as to just talk. So we would walk home and we'd just chat. We would just talk. And later we'll find ourselves, oh, we're in academia already. And it was so nice. So I used that opportunity, or God sort of opened my eyes to see it as a blessing and not to complain, because he had to bring me to a point of being humble before he brings this blessing. And then there was a point where my husband would walk to work. He said, no, I'm not going to take a taxi anymore because we're saving up for a car. I've decided I'll be walking. So he walks from academia to Eros. He wakes up at 4:30, and I hated it because that means he has to wake up so early and just to get to work, and he likes being in the office like 2-3 hours before, which I find still ridiculous. I don't understand. But he says he has work to do and he wants to be on time with his work. So then there were times where it would rain, and we don't have taxi money because we're saving it up. So there are times where it would rain, and I said, Lord, please, I'll speak to the rain. Please stop, because my husband has to walk to work now. And it would stop, and he'd work to work. When he gets to the office, it starts pouring again. That's God. That's the God I serve. Then there was a point where he came to tell me about that story, and I didn't really like it. He said, okay, sweetie, I had to get to this area where it was flooding. Sorry, honey, I'm putting you on the spot here, but I need to testify. It was a bridge, or not a bridge, there was water, and he had to remove his shoes because it's the only way he needs to. There's no other shorter way. So he had to remove his shoes to walk through there. And I said, Lord, please, you need to come through for us here. And I told him never ever to tell me that again, even if he does it. But God is so faithful. A few months ago, my father-in-law, he happened to have two cars, and Ignatius, in a joke, just said, asked another uncle of his and said, don't you think if I ask my father, would you think he'll sell me the car? And so this uncle went to tell the father, and the father said, sure, I'll sell it to him. And then we got a very good car for $40,000, which goes for $70,000. So, and we were like, Lord, you are so amazing, because we didn't even think we'll have a car right now. But now we have a car, so we don't walk anymore. All thanks and praise to God. And then I missed the other part, him walking to work. He would pick up money. I think it's God. I don't think it's coincidence. There were times where we don't have bread in the house, and he would walk to work, and he said, sweetie, I don't know, but I've been picking up $10 on the road every time I walk. And he would come home with bread, and I'm like, yeah, that bread. I didn't eat bread for a whole week, and I'm like, oh, yes, we're going to have bread today. So for me, it's humbling just to see that God really rains money from heaven just for me and Ignatius. There was a point where he picked up a 300 and he came with groceries. I'm like, where did you get the money? He said, I picked it up. And literally, I wouldn't believe him. This morning, this other afternoon, we took a walk pushing Joshua in the stroller, and he tells me again, I really pick up $10 on the road. And then while we're walking, he said, see? And there was a $10 on the ground. Seriously. And he picked it up, and we went to buy bread. I was like, oh, we're going to have bread today again. So, really, it's God showing. It's sort of supernatural in a way. I don't really believe it's coincidence, but I just believe it's God providing and just meeting us at a place where we're at to go forward. So I really thank God for this whole year. It's been a roller coaster. It's been up and down, but he's proven himself faithful, and he is faithful.
Thank you, Sarah. Remember, you always have to pray for rain in Windhoek. Now that you've got a car. Praise God. That's an awesome testimony. Okay, Theo Anne, you're the second one. And I think Theo Anne is going to share a little bit about Bible school.
Okay, so this year at the beginning, I decided to do Bible school. I actually don't know why I decided to do it, but I just decided. And I'm so glad, because I think next year would have been a bit difficult doing Bible school. So, I just want to share something, what is openbaring in English? A revelation I had about faith. We had this one teaching about faith, and I can't remember what the guy's name was, but whatever. He was sitting at a table like this and holding a pen in his hand, and he was just saying, because I always knew what faith was, but I didn't have this practical way of applying faith in my life. And he said, faith is like he's sitting at this table now and holding this pen, and this is what the reality is, but it's not the truth. the truth is what God sees around us. And I just, it's the first time that it made practically sense to me what faith is. And just a few days before that, I found out that I was pregnant, and I went for these blood tests to show that I'm pregnant, and the doctor said yes, but 2 days after that, I need to go again, just to show that all the hormones are increasing and whatever. So Liesl and Cornelia were going away, and we really needed wanted to tell them before they go away, but I first wanted the results. So the days when I went before, I went like 10 o'clock the morning to Pathke, and only the next day, lunchtime, the doctor phoned me with the results. So that Thursday afternoon, Lisa Lilla were coming. So that Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock, I was going to the doctor to do the tests. And I really wanted the results that night, but it was impossible because it is impossible. And I just thought, wow, but, you know, the reality says it's impossible to get the results, but I'm just going to put out my faith that I will get it that night. And like 7 o'clock, the doctor phoned, told me everything is growing, and I could tell them. So, yeah, it's just amazing the things that I could have applied this faith to this year. Even people telling us it's impossible to build this time of year, to get a builder. And I was just like, it's the reality of the world, but it's not the truth, and we are building our house now. So yeah, I would just encourage everybody who haven't done Bible school before, it's really worthwhile. I think lots of people are talking about the eternity focus we need to have and zoom out a bit. And I just feel if you think about eternity, then doing Bible school for 1 year is not a very big commitment to actually do.
Thank you, Thuan. Now it's Simone. She's also going to testify.
Good morning, church. I want to testify about something that I call self-efficiency versus the heart of flesh. I really love it when God does something that we can never achieve on our own. So I want to read from Ezekiel 36, verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you. Sorry, I jumped something. 26. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. It's just so powerful because, I had to realize that that there was something inside of me that I couldn't change, and God came and drastically changed something within me. So in the year 2012, I fell in love with Adrian. and to be very honest, I wasn't ready for that. It was something in my life that I didn't want to sacrifice because I felt self-sufficient. I felt I didn't need that in my life. This is strangely at a time when I really knew God, and there was lots of areas in my life that I had fully given over to God, and then obviously there were certain areas in my heart that I really kept for myself. So as I got courage from somewhere, our mighty God really, really came and changed my heart, and it's nothing I could have achieved by my own. The interesting part is when you're in love, you need God even more because love is not selfish. You need the Holy Spirit, you need his counsel, and you need Jesus because you need forgiveness. So it was a really powerful cycle that happened. Yeah, so I came to realize that someone with a hard heart is really an instrument to Satan, because in a hard heart, you can't leave an impression. So you can come to church and you can do all sorts of good things, but there's no change. I really believe that all people grow, whether they believers in God or not, but the growth can either be to ripen or to rotten. And I'm just truly grateful for God giving me the opportunity to ripen healthily. just for this kind of heart surgery. Our wedding on the 1st of November was truly blessed. As I prepared myself for the wedding day, I was reading some scriptures and praying, and there has been a very powerful promise which ties in with the change of heart. So I want to read for you. First from Deuteronomy 11:13. It says, "And if you will indeed obey my commandments, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give you the rain for your land in its season." It's obviously very powerful to fully believe in that, and then it becomes a little bit better. So in Deuteronomy 3, I had a lot of peace about the wedding, but when I read this, I could fully give over. It says in verse 4, "And we took all his cities at that time. There was no city that we did not take from them. 60 cities. And we had 60 guests." So it was just such a powerful promise for me that God is going to come and give hearts that are soft and warm to these 60 people. I just want to praise God for that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now it's our overseas friend, Sander.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. Where should I start? Five? Okay, let's start the reason why I came here. In 2011, I fell in love with Maria. She was studying in Holland at that time. In 2012, she had to go back to Namibia, so that made it for me quite urgent to also go to Namibia. I was here already before. So I went here a couple of times to visit Namibia. In 2013, it was the time when I got saved by the Lord myself. I went to church and all of a sudden, things start working out for me. So, I developed a beautiful relationship with the Lord, and that was a thing I was a little bit afraid of because I never experienced anything like that in Namibia. We never even attended church together in those ways. So I was quite afraid of that. I have quite a nice body of Christ in Holland, and somehow the Lord quite rapidly led me into this church. I had already a tip at home, like that's something you can discover, you can find out if it's for you, and very fast, I was having quite a lot of friends, new family members of the body of Christ that blessed me in awesome, awesome things. I had many times that I had to struggle with things because the period was also kind of tough. The last 5-6 months actually were quite tough. It had massive ups and massive downs. That when you really struggle, when you don't know what to do anymore, you don't know what to see, you don't know what to think. And then all of a sudden, just these nice folks came up, even the people on the street. People from church, a nice body of church. We had the cell group meetings were awesome. It was great together. Soon we went to the Ablaze conference, where we also had those awesome sermons about how important it is to wrestle with God, even if it sometimes feels like you really, really don't want to do that. That it's so important to just stick with the Lord, no matter what happens. He's the only solution, and he got me out of a lot of mess already the last months and even the months before. But the last months were really special to me. It was such a blessing to me. Every time we had a struggle, then somebody pointed you to something, or you went to the Lord yourself. I prayed for many things. I prayed for this incredible hunger for the Lord, for the book, for the word, for just what everybody is reaching out to me. It's amazing. I'm really amazed by all those things. I also had to make a decision with Maria, of course, because I'm still debating, okay, should we go for the next step, and what are the things that you should look at? And he also obviously also gave me great examples about couples that go to Christ together, that really want to serve the Lord together. He also saw it at the Ablaze conference where Macademy and his wife, First, Meg did a great sermon, and I was really, really stunned by it. This was also about resting with God and what you do as a man and what you do as a woman. And then his wife just backed him up like that. It was incredible for me to see how one couple can just bear the fruits for, I would call it like a total package of Jesus, because he puts the best of him in a man, and he also puts the best of him in a woman. And if you want to be a total blessing, I think it's really important that you can carry both of those fruits as a couple when you become one. Yeah, it was really blessed. I had quite a number of times I really was thinking, okay, what should I do now? At a given point, I came to the point, okay, it's Namibia. It's a proper blessing to me. I also had people praying for me, had people prophesying for me for many things that I really think that hit the spot. Relationship-wise, I was still debating on it, and at a given point, I was thinking, okay, but it looks like I'm going to Holland now in December again, and in January, February, they start this awesome course again. It's a cleansing stream course. It's like 3 to 4 months. It's a course. You have a lot of teaching about how do you get to know the Lord? How do you get to know his voice? What can be in the way? Is it sin? What is it? How can you repent from it, walk away from it? It takes about 3 to 4 months, and then you have a 2 days retreat. In that retreat, it's like constant prayer, worship, thanksgiving, teaching, repenting of stuff, getting rid of stuff, and you get deliverance from spirits and all kind of nasty stuff that you don't want in your life. And in the end, there was also this physical healing. Like the anointing of God was there. It was obvious. He showed up with many miracles that day. So we decided also to do a physical healing. And he touched my arm at that point. He also touched my wrist already a few months before that. And as I was thinking this, I said, Lord, though I felt quite cleaned up the other time, but I also discovered that there are still a lot of stuff in my heart that I picked up from this world that I really need to get rid of, because I really have a hunger for the Lord and I want to get closer to him. And he's blessing me abundantly, because also in the sermons, they teach you how to stay close to God. They give you these amazing tips, like, if you want to have a breakthrough, fast and for it. Have a full night of prayer for it. I tried it out. It's I can recommend it. It's amazing. The Lord just delivers you his blessings like that. It's amazing what happens when you pray for the full night. But as I was thinking about doing the cleansing stream again, because obviously I had quite a lot of problems still in my heart that I needed to get rid of, I said, but this time, because I also had a problem with my ears since I was 17 years old, they always clotted up, and then I went to the doctor, and then they cleaned them, and at a given point, this one just lost the high tones. So I'm hearing okay, but this one, just the high tones were really, really poor. It was really bad. And I said, well, this time I'm going to that cleansing stream course again, and this time, in the end, I just want you to also touch my ear then. It's going to be in May. But as I was doing the test, because I always make that whispering sound, if you can hear it. And if I do it on this side, I don't hear a thing. And it just started working, just like that. I didn't feel a thing. Nobody prayed for it. Nobody put hands on it. But the Lord was just there, and he just did it again. So it was, in many times, it was also, we had quite a lot of struggles, but every time when you, even in your worst moments, if you turn to the Lord, you start praying to him, you start giving him thanksgiving, he just, every time it just changes that situation. You go from going backwards, all of a sudden you're on top again. It's a proper blessing. He just is able to change every situation. I even had one this night. It's a bit of a funny one. I think I can also share it. I'm bad in dreaming. I can almost not recall a dream, but this night, the Lord was ministering to me a lot, and every time it came back, I was like half conscious, and then I fell asleep again. I'm still not sure again what it was, because I had quite a rough night. And at a given pain, at a given time, I was felt like I was in this fight, and I had this massive pain. And all of a sudden, my intestines, they start playing up, and all I could think was like, this evil spirit has to go now. And I went to the toilet, and I had this excruciating pain, and I was having diarrhea, and all I could think about that moment, it was one of those moments that you really don't have anywhere else to go. And I just started praying to Jesus. Jesus, just I know that he was there, because I felt him in the dream also. I know that he was close. He was there. He was with me. He was on me. He was just there. But I was having this massive fight. And I was constant praying, like, Jesus, just come help me out with this. I cannot do this alone. I need your strength in this by the blood of Jesus. I want this thing out of me. I want it gone no matter what it takes. And it took quite a while. I collapsed also a few times because I was on the toilet. And then, you know, I also was on the floor a few times. I called Maria on it. And she was helping me out also. She's like the best doctor in the world. And she gave me water and drinks and everything went on the floor because even the glass broke down. It was quite a situation. She wanted to bring me to the hospital and all those things. And at a given point, I felt like it was gone. And it was this, I never had this massive problem. It was really excruciating pain. I was on the floor for several times. And I just prayed for, oh Lord, don't let this take away my joy that I have tomorrow in church, because I really feel like I should go there. I'm still a little bit upside down by it anyway. But in the morning, I just woke up and I just felt the renewed strength. I didn't have any problem at all. I just took a shower, took a coffee. Maria was also amazed by it because she was like, are you going now? Because maybe I should go now with you in case you get sick again. So that's also the beautiful thing out of it. He always changes those situations. So now we have Maria in the church also today. I'm very, very grateful for that as well. And yeah, that was what happened today. He showed me quite a lot of things tonight. It is important to me. I have to think about it more and more, but it's really important that how hard it gets, just stick with the Lord. He's the only one that actually can get you out of the mess that you're in. It doesn't matter where you are. There's nothing too big for our Lord. He's always there. He always comes through. And yeah, we can be grateful for that. And I know that I have this deep sense that we are really going to be a generation that will see many of these miracles come. And I wouldn't be amazed if we see him showing up one day. And we can already thank him for that. Amen. Thank you very much.
Oh, I had the privilege of having a few coffees with Saunders recently, and he's like a fountain, just giving God's love out all the time. Okay, Carl. Where's Carl now?
Here.
As a friend.
As I read. Yeah. Ek wil vir vandag sê, ek was op straat dat uit het gewees dat ek baie sleg was. My ou vriend John het my gekry dat ek op die straat gesit het. Ek het mense gaan vra vir geld. Ek het satanisme aan dien, ek het satanisme gaan aan dien. En toe kom John na my toe op Saterdag. Ek kom uit en hy kom sit en praat met my en hy vra of my Karel ken hier. Ek sê ja van, ek ken so bietjie, maar laat dit as ek mos meer in satanisme en ek het meer my dinge gedoen. En John het met daar paar woorde vir my gesê en gepraat. Toe vryf my nou, sal ek jy saam met hom na mannekamp toe gaan nie. Ek sê vir John, ek sal gaan, maar hoe kom ek? Hy sê my nie waar nie, ek sal vir jou betaal. Ek sê, okay Johnny, dankie. En ek gaan toe, hy noem my toe na die mannekamp toe. Ek het die naam saam gaan na die mannekamp toe, en daar het ons bietjie geluister, en daar het ek besluit, maar redig waar, hoekom moet ek so aangaan in my leven? Daar is dan iemand wat vir my lief is. En ek het die woord geluister, en die Sondag van die mannekamp, toe word ek my woord gedoop. En ek het teruggekom en van daar af het ek op my bord gestaan en daar, moet nie verdink omdat ek daar was, ek het daar gehad waar het nie lekker was. Daar was daar wat die sat my kom aangeval het, die satanisme teruggekom, hulle val my aan. Ja, ek het my tikkies een bykie struggle en alles. Ja, en van daar af het, voor die mannekamp toe het ek ons werk gehad. Voor die Johnny is my gebouw, toe kreeg ek een werk. En toe ek die mannekamp toe gaan, toe sy mannekamp terugkom, toe besluit die jou neem, ek het moest nou nie mannekamp toe gaan, ek het kamel op rond gegaan, toe verloor ek die werk daar. Maar nog steeds het ek gesê, Here, ek gaan nie los sien, ek is staan gestaan. En ek het gebid en toe kry ek, hier waar ek nou werk, by FNB, nuwe FNB het nou bou, daar by Orkala Recens. Toe hoor ek van die pos dat daar op is. Ek gaan toe ook gewoon naar die auto, ek vraag toe met die ou, ek sê vir my, ek kan begin werk, daar is die probleem nie. Maar ek lief my safety skoene nie, so ek kan nie begin nie. En eerst in my gedachte kom, is die naaste persoon met my, dat is Paul. Ek haal na Paul, ek sê vir Paul, ek kan die werk begin kry, maar ek het die safety boots, en die Paul sê vir my, is die probleem nie. Paul het my gevat en my paas het die boetsloop gekoop, hy selfde woensdag te beginne werk ek. En tot vandag toe werk ek met die verse, en ek het werk lekker, ja, en die Heer het baie dinge die Heer het my opgemaak, en baie mense, soos baie van die straat ouders aan week geblei het, en alles, vraag vir my Karel, hoe kree jy het recht, wat gaan aan? Dan sê ek vir hulle net, dis nie ek nie, dis iemand in my woon, dan vraag hulle op my wie is dit, sê ek vir hulle, dis die Heer, dis al wie my opgestaan het, en dis al wie my bystaan. Ja, en dis tye wat soos nou by die werk, wat ek nou nie die werk kan wees, want ek is nou te ver voor. Maar alles is nie net van my af nie, alles kom van God af. Dit is nie door my wat ek kan doen nie, dit is door ons doen as een vader. En ja, dat is, al ek kan sê is, dankie Here, vir al die goeie tyd vir die jaar. Allei die werklike wat hy ons gesien hierdie jaar. En al die kant sê is dankie Here.
Ja, Karel, that's really special. Thanks so much. JP? Okay.
Okay. Lekker. ja, I just want to use this opportunity to say thank you to God for this year, you know, as I shared earlier that, you know, Thanksgiving was an important thing for the Israelites, part of their culture, and I don't think we do it enough, or I don't do it enough, you know, we are very, or I am, I like to say we when I think, you know, and I like to judge other Christians when I think about them, but it's actually, I'm also part of them, so it's more applicable to myself. Yeah, you know, I'm very, you know, you always want the next thing in life, you know. So when I get somewhere, when I get a car, okay, now, for instance, when I get a car, let me put it this way. Last year, I came to Windhoek in April, and I didn't have a car for the whole year, okay. And I was walking to work and had to use my boss's car. The Lord still provided, but it was similar to Sarah and Ignatius's case. I had to learn a lot through that time of not having a car, you know, learning to be content with what we have, because God, you know, he is our everything, and we have him, but we still, you know, very, very materialistic in our mindset. So I didn't have a car, and then I got a car this year, but now I'm already thinking about the next car, the better car, you know, the Bucky, or the Land Rover, or whatever, you know. We always want the next best thing, you know. Yes, Land Rover, you know, and so, yeah, I received the revelation of Jesus Christ at the age of 17. I grew up religiously. I was a little boy. My mom taught me to read before I went to school, already out of the Bible, so I could read before going to school and stuff. And, you know, I always had a faith in God and everything. And in my teenager years, I fell away quite horrifically. And then at the age of 17, I received the revelation of Jesus Christ. And with it, I received the desire to be in the ministry and, you know, to work for God, you know, because I just, it was just like this big, you know, you just realize, oh my word, it's true. You know, from going from a head belief to a heart belief, it's like, that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to live for the Lord and do his work. And then I thought, okay, it's going to be easy. I'm just going to do that. And there's this song from Casting Crowns. It's called, or they sing this verse, having deep water faith in the shallow end. So when you're reborn, or when I was reborn, I received this, just this, I believed everything, and I knew God could do it, but I never actually went through the struggles in life, you know, whatever, I don't know how to put it, if you hear what I'm saying, having deep water faith in the shallow end, so you know God can do it, but I've never gone through those things myself to actually know more that God can do it. So from the age of 17, it's been almost 10 years of you know, walking a road between the flesh and the spirit, learning to walk after the spirit and falling a lot in the flesh. I've fallen so many times in sin, you know, it's not even funny. It's like, it's, you know, religiously we think we have to be perfect, and there's always this thing of being, you know, you have to, you know, in church and you have to sit there and you know, blink, skyn heilig sê hulle mos. Just joking. And, but I've, this year, God has really used to, open up stuff in my heart from the men's camp through to a Blaze conference. Stuff that I was sharing with in cell group that God put in my heart to share with the cell group was also being brought from Macadamia. And so I really saw God working through our body, you know, and that thing of not being content with what we have, I must confess that I didn't feel content with the body, with my family for a long time, you know, because you get offended by people and it's like, oh, you know, hierdie persoon. You know, but, you know, in the end, it's learning those principles of the faith, you know, the things that we believe in the shallow end. And when you go through the deep water, you lose those sight of those things. And then you actually, when you come out on the other side, you see, okay, but it is like this and it does work like that. I hope it makes sense. So, yeah, I just want to say thank you to God for using this. Yeah, I've made good friends, real friendships, or Arvin, but he's not around a lot. I know he works very hard, and Philip and Johnny was a very good friend to me, you know, and being friends with Zander as well, you know, godly friendships that really edifies and establishes one. You know, God is really faithful in our ending as well. He's my zone coach, and I'm a cell leader, so, you know, having some of those few coffees that we've had has really been a blessing, just to get wisdom from an older brother, you know, and being part of the worship team. And, you know, I think we should just sit and think of what we have sometimes, you know. And as I'm standing here, I'm a bit of a hypocrite, because I'm not really thankful in my heart at this moment, but I want to be. So just to say thank you, God. Thank you, the Lord, for his goodness and his greatness and his covenant.
That's okay, JP. We still love you, right? Good. Yeah.
Hello, Jelle. I can't buy from hierdie ding nie. Kan ek hier staan? Okay, vir julle wat my nou nie ken nie, ek is Cosette van Suid-Afrika. En dankie. Alle ouma. Okay, I'm Cosette from South Africa. Okay. And I have an amazing, amazing, amazing journey with the Lord. I think we all do, but I just want to share this with you. I'm not going to go into the detail because it's way too long. I'll keep you busy like 4 hours. But what happened in 2010 is that I lost my sight, not my vision. I lost my sight. And I was director of a company, and I had to stop working. And I lost all my property, and I lost a lot of things. I also lost my fiance through reasons of a farm attack. So there's been a lot of things that happened. And through all of this, I was quite, you know, just resting in the Lord, and he was giving me faith and strength. And there's two or three things I wanted to say. The first is that I believe in myself to be a very strong person, and it's all about Cosette. No. And I see myself as a lioness, and in the midst of losing everything, I regained some sight in my right eye, and I said to the Lord, well, I'm going to start reading. It's going to take me a year to read a book, but I'm going to read, and I'm going to get up back on my feet. And in my life, the Lord has been gracious enough to put people in my life to be family. I don't really have a strong family. My father passed away and stuff like that. But he's been so amazing and so faithful. Everywhere I've gone in my life, there was people. I have spiritual parents who look after me. So me being lioness, I went to the Christian coffee shop, and I said to my friend, I'm going to read the first book I pick up. And keep in mind now, I had a visual disability, like I still do, but it was worse than that extent. I couldn't read anything, you know, further than here. So I took the first book out of the shelf, and when I held it in my hand, and I got it close, it said, Lioness Arising, and I just dropped it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, this is exciting. I'm like, oh, I'm going to read it. And I got home. Now, also keep in mind, I was a career woman. I was driven. I'm like, I want to do this. I just flew all over South Africa. So I couldn't wait to get back to my life. And the first 5 pages was all about being a housewife. I was so disappointed. Lord, really? Okay, the Lord really works with comedy in my life. I'm like, really? I was so upset. I put the book down. I'm like, I don't have a husband. I don't have the family thing, man. And the Lord said to me, but you're my housewife now. Because at that stage, I was at home baking for the church. Yeah. And anyway. And then when I rested my head and I lay back, this amazing thing just came to me, and he said, you are a lioness, but I am the Lion of Judah, and you are my lioness. And I'm like, what? And it said another thing. At that stage, I was leading the young adults in our group, and it was all men. The Lord did an army thing, and I had to make them physically strong, and he taught me how, and I didn't know how to deal with women. And at that point, the Lord came and changed my heart. And from that lioness to the Lion of Judah, he also said to me, a lioness does not increase the territory. A lioness does not fight. She provides and she cares and she nurtures. And he'll make you strong to provide and to care and to nurture. And that's the bride of Jesus too. We need to care and nurture each other. He is the lion. Oh, man. And from the next week, ladies started coming into the cell. And I'm like, yes, Lord. And he created this ladies group called His Pride. We were His Pride. And it was amazing. But now, so that was the one thing. Then the second thing is, so in all of this, I actually booked shark cage diving because I'm quite an explorer. And with this whole thing happening, I couldn't go to the shark cage. You can't, whatever. But then the Lord just came and He understands my adventure heart. So He put me in Namibia, and this is why I'm going to get to it now, the last part. And when He put me here, you know, he took me to a place in the Zambezi region where I actually swam with hippos in a hippo cage. And I just had to laugh. I'm like, Lord, you're flipping awesome. I, myself, in my own provision, I couldn't go and do shark cage diving. But He makes me swim with hippos. Who has ever swam in a hippo cage? but this is how awesome the Lord has been in my life. But anyway, okay, this is the last part. This is the last part. I lost everything, and then but I had insurance. You have professional insurance and what. And but then something went wrong, and the person who did my case was fired, and they stopped paying my insurance. So there was a big thing, and that was the biggest faith struggle I've had ever in my life. You can physically do anything to me, but the Lord knew I had to rely on Him for provision because I was always so strong and I can provide for myself. And the Lord had to show me that I am your provider. And this was the hardest part, is just to lose everything and still have the joy of the Lord. And I remember praying and praying. I come from a town where they have a lot of plantations and forestry and whatever. So I walked into the plantation and I said, Lord, I can't do this. I don't have anything else to lose. You know, what do you want from me? And I love you and I serve you, but this is hard. I can't do this. And all that pride, you know, you have so much pride. And my pastor said to me at one stage, when I said to him, listen, don't tell me the Lord knows what it feels like to be me. The Lord never went blind. He isn't a woman. He doesn't know. And my pastor said to me, do you think the Lord has, left you? And I said, yes, how can He let this be? How can He let me go through this alone, you know? And he said, well, that's exactly how Jesus felt when he was on the cross. He felt, Lord, why have you left me? And that was such a big thing in my life. I'm like, oh, He really knows how I'm feeling. So no matter what. And anyway, I sent my CV all over the world, not in South Africa, because in South Africa I'm classified as a disabled. And there's a whole lot of red tape that goes with employing me. And a lady in Namibia emailed me back, and she said to me, okay, we just a lady resigned, and her name is Carla. Your Carla, okay? This is another awesomeness. And we need somebody in her place, but I also studied energy technology, so I'm not exactly the same as Carla. She's awesome with people and social. I'm more with energy. But anyway, so I said to her, well, I'm an outspoken Christian, so I don't want to work for a Muslim. I don't want to work for an atheist, but I'd like to, you know, I'll work for you. And then she says to me, awesome, I'm an outspoken Christian too. And if the Lord wants you to be here, we'll apply. And I got my visa, and I got my work permit in 10 days. So that's how I ended up here. And when I came here, I was looking for a church, and for 3 or 4 months, I traveled. I was in Emmanuel, Agape, all of the other churches, Eastside Baptist, whatever. And JP. And I just, you know, all the time I was like, I had this issue with the leaders. So I met Philip in, I don't want to bring ear to the people, but I met Philip in Revive, and I just saw him, and I just started talking to him about the Lord, and he just looked at me, and it was so quite funny. And anyway, 2 or 3 weeks later, I eventually come with Philip to Shofar, and you guys, it was just before the Rundu missions, and he said, yo, we're going on Rundu missions, and I'm like, oh, Philip, I want to go there. And when I came and spoke with Carl, I just first thing I told him is like, I have an issue with leaders. And he says to me, but why don't you come to Rundu? And then I knew, like, you know, I need to be there. And when I just, this is the last part of just being in Shofar, and then I didn't know anybody, and I got into the bus and I met JP. Well, I actually met him before, but, you know. And my thing is to be a helper. I need to be busy. I'm driven, whatever. And I just sat in front of the Lord, just keep me busy because I don't know these people. And JP was gracious enough to let me be like co-driver, and I can do everything. And I just felt like this is family. And apart from everything that happened, the Lord has come and shown me like this is where you need to be. Shofar is your home, and this is a new place for you. And I'm so thankful. He has provided for me, has put me back in a place of work, of employment. He's provided for me a home and now a family too. And I just want to say thank you for him. And it's been an amazing journey. And say thank you to all of you who have accepted me here with the Lord's grace. Yeah. Okay, I'm it.
Thank you, Ed. Okay, thank you. That was really, really amazing. If there's anyone else and you still feel you, there's still time left. If you feel you've got a testimony that you want to share with the church, you can please do so. Come to the front. Yes, Elsa? You're welcome.
I can ook Afrikaans. Ek is eintlik stout, want ek moes oor Bybelskool testify. En toe vanoggend besluit ek, nee, ek is nie eintlik lus om dit te doen nie. Net omdat, ek was net die lus nie, en ongehoorsaam en kwaai, en ek wil nie aantrek vir kerk nie, en ek is my mans nie hier nie, en ek is sommer net stubborn. En toe ons hier sit in worship, I was just overwhelmed by the Lord's goodness, and I just felt, ons mag hier stil bly nie, en ons mag hier dit net vir onsself hou nie. En, dis eintlik hoekom ek nie mag praat hier, te emotioneel. Ja, en ons het 'n miskraam gehad in die begin van die jaar, en, oh, dit was nie lekker nie, maar net deur dit, het die Here, jy het my net op my knie gebring, en as ek nou terugkijk, ek is so dankbaar daarvoor, en ek prys hom net daarvoor, en ons is nou weer swanger, so. En, ja, en ek dink net, terug by die Bybelskool, ek gaan na die Bybelskool adverteer, dit was net vir my soos 'n weeklikse, net soos 2 ure wat ek regtig net heel jou fokus afhaal van alles wat jy in jou lewe aangaan en jou issuetjies en wat jy mee struggle en net die, soos die Here leer ken en sy woord en wat hy sê en wat hy sê oor, oor die kerk en oor jou finances en ja, dit was net vir my so awesome om net heeltemal die fokus af te haal van my en ons lewe en wat by ons aangaan. En net raai hanger vir die woord te kry, want ek is so 'n bietjie lui vir die Bybel lees. En as mens hoor hoe hierdie mense teach op die DVD's, dan begeer jy net soos daai wysheid, en jy begeer daai, yes, ek wil ook soveel weet, en ek wil ook kan deel. En ek dink ons baie min mense wat net supernaturally daai wisdom gaan kry, jy moet maar die Bybel lees, so jy moet maar Bybelskool doen. Ja, so dit was net my regtig baie cool ervaring, en ek voel net, ons gaan nou nie allemaal vandag hier praat nie, maar tell of his goodness, want om het vir jouself te hou, oh, thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. Gracias.
Good morning, everybody. Just a quick testimony what the Lord has been doing in our lives. I know my wife has said so many things, but there are other things that she left. Just to start with, when I was still walking to work, you know, from Academia to Eros, you know, there's a garage somewhere there, auto house, something in the garage. Every day that I walked, you know, I used to pass by that garage, and I used to pray for one car every day. As long as I walked, I used to go there and then I just pray for the Audi A6, and I was praying, and I'm like, Lord, this is mine. I'm not gonna leave it until you give it to me. And you know, every time like that and all that. But you know, God always knows best for us, and He gave us, you know, the car that we bought from my father for a bargain. And you know, I was like, wow, I had to repent because I was like, you know, this is what I wanted. But God, you know, had something planned for me. You know, I had to repent and say, Lord, thank you for this car that you have given us. And, you know, because He knows when the right time comes, maybe I'll get that one. But that was not the right time. And also, you know, at my workplace, last year when we went for our NDA function, you know, people were telling Sarah, you know, how awesome, you know, this is the awesome HR manager and all that. I was like, I'm not an HR manager. And these people, they know, and they kept telling my wife, you know, it's an awesome HR manager. I was like, I'm not. And I was so ashamed. Like, and then after the, you know, the party said, no, you might just receive it and all that. And I said, okay, all right, I'll do that. I'll receive it. And then this year, I got 2 offers of employment. And, you know, I rejected all of them. You know, because my HR executive said, no, don't go. You know, going to give you something on top or whatever. And I said, okay, I'm not going to go. And then, you know, she agreed, and general manager, and then the CEO refused to, you know, to add something on top. I was like, fine, I'm not going to go. I'll still stay. And she was like, you know, are you sure you want to stay? I was like, no, I'm not going to go. I'll still stay and all that. So I stayed. And then a month ago, our former chief operating officer, starting a printing company also, you know, he called me and said, don't you want to be the head of HR and administration? I said, oh, of course I will. And this time, you know, I had peace in my mind. You know, I felt like this is the time. The 2 other offers, I was like, 50%, you know, can I go or not? I was like, I'm not going to go if it's 50%. But this one, you know, I feel like there is no other way. You know, it's 100%. I've done what I have to do, and it's time to move on. And next year, February, I'm going to start a new job. Just want to thank God for that.
Probably the fittest guy in church. Anyone else? Last testimony is Prisca. Yes. Prisca, I thought you'll renew already. Not yet.
Oh, good morning, church. I was actually sitting there thinking, if there's an opportunity, Lord, because I just felt the Lord says, you've got a story to tell and you must go and tell it. I'm like, not in this condition, not in this situation, maybe next year. And then I was sitting there, and I just felt on my heart the Lord. I just told him, okay, if Carol says if there's anybody else that wants to share, then I'll stand up. But if not, then I will not. Anyways, as you can all see, glowing and all. Sorry, and stuff. It's really been a journey for me this year, to be honest, and so on. You know, from being. You all, most of the people in church know me and so on. Being a faithful servant and whatever, finding yourself in a situation where you're pregnant now and you're not married and stuff. It's just, and I had plans, so many plans. And I know that the Lord had put those plans on my heart and so on. So what do I do with all these plans now? What's going to happen? And so on. So going from, I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord, going to the point of, should we go through abortion and stuff like that? I remember there were a couple of people really talking to accountability partner. I went to see Carol, me and Maggie. We went to see Carol one lunch, and just sitting down there with him and just telling him the news and the way he responded, I'll really have to be honest that at that very moment he responded like a father, and I was just crying the whole time, sitting on that table, of how good God is at that very moment, and how Carol just spoke blessings and all those things over me and so on. But anyway, so this whole time, like Maggie says, you can't hide it. The thing is growing now, so she's not here yet. So every time I'll come to church, for example, it's very difficult to wake up every Sunday and to walk through those doors. But the moment that I walk through these doors and I come in here, it's like I feel the presence of God just in this place. And I just shut my eyes and I just worship Him. It's been coming along for every Sunday. Like, I don't know what happens, but at this very moment, every time I walk through those church doors and I get in here, I meet the presence of God. And the only thing that I can do is just worship God. Like, literally worship God. It's like I shut down with everything. I don't care anymore. Most probably I'm going to go back to my emotions or feeling ashamed and shy after the praise and worship. But at that very moment, it's like God just takes over literally. And over this year, I've had the most amazing praise and worship. I've had the most amazing relationship building with people. For example, Maritza praying over me. And most of you do know Maritza. And in this time, I've met and talked to Maritza much more than all the other years before I've met Maritza and so on. And it's just so beautiful, the things that she prophesied that are coming to pass little by little and so on. We just finally lodged with the deeds office for our house. So we're waiting for that finalization. So I'm just thankful for that. Yes, lawyers are crooks and they take their time with, yes, Paul agrees and so on. But it's just been so beautiful. But just, yes, on Friday I was just standing there and there's just two revelations that I really want to share that the Lord laid upon my heart. That scripture, I don't know where it stands, that you've been called and predestined and so on. So the whole time, one of the biggest challenge was the Lord teaching me to see myself beyond the situation, which is of course hard because I'm here now and so on. But the Lord keeps on saying, you need to lift because I have lifted the way I look at you and the way I look and the way I see you. I do not see you the way you see yourself, and you need to come to that place where I see you. You need to lift and come to that place. And one thing that the Lord really laid upon me is that we've all been predestined and that we've all been called. So the thing is, it's what do you do with the calling that matters the most at the end of the day. It's not about the fact that you've not been called. The Lord has called each and every one of us, regardless of whatever state, regardless of whatever situation. I just felt in my heart, the Lord just linking it with that whole talent thing. It's like the Lord gives you the talent, the Lord gives you the calling, but you must choose, what are you going to do with that calling? What are you going to do with that talent? Are you going to hide it? Are you going to hide? You might be called to be a housewife. You might be called to dig a hole, but the Lord knows the purpose and the plan of calling you and the reason why He has called you, and you have to choose at the end of the day as to what it is that you're going to do with the calling. And through this time, really, I've been, the girls just threw me a baby shower on Friday, a surprise baby shower. It was just so amazing of how small little things or big things and stuff. And I remember standing at our HR office on Friday under a tree and saying, Lord, do you remember? I mean, I had stepped out of full-time employment by faith. For 3 months, I was unemployed, and I just needed to trust the Lord. And the Lord just reminded me again of saying, do you remember when you came for the interview? The Lord knows that I've got the tendency of being restless. And He said, I understand the frame because you're human. But when I give you a promise, there's something that comes with a promise as well. He remains faithful in the promise, even when we waver, even when we fall or whatever, but God remains faithful. And He just reminded me at that very moment, that, do you remember when you came to the interview and I told you that you got the job and you still said, oh Lord, but I messed up. I didn't answer this question and whatever. But at the end of the day, you got the job. So the same as well, if I've called you for a nation, if I've called you for whatever ministry, if I've called you for whatever specifics in your life, I, the Lord your God, remains faithful. I remain committed in the promise. I do not waver, nor do I change. Yes, and I understand that you're frail. Yes, I understand that you're human. Yes, I understand that sometimes you're going to be restless. But as you learn to trust me for small things, bigger things, I can also learn to trust you for nations. And I think that was just an amazing confirmation for my heart when God says that he can trust you with nations, because that's what God wants to trust us with. He wants to trust us with that nation because he knows we can. He knows that he has predestined and he knows that he has called us. So my testimony for today and through this amazing up and down journey, too much crying and so on, and just the fact that I felt there was family. When Carol spoke, and he spoke like a father and spoke blessings, when Maretta prayed, and when every other person prayed that really made a difference, when it became hard, it's those prayers that has carried me through. When it came difficult, it was those people that said something that has sustained and kept me and so on. So I just want to encourage us as church that yes, I know sometimes you ask yourself, but what is my calling? But all I can say is you've been called. You have a calling. It's what you choose to do with your calling that makes the difference. Thank you.
We're going to have one last one. And I think we can just, there's so much in what was shared this morning. It just gives us so much courage and hope. two last ones. Well, it doesn't matter. There's also one or two that we still just, that written testimonies that we have that we're going to show. I'm going to give Paul and David the last opportunities. Paul, you can come. And then David, you also want to share one? Okay, and that's going to be the last ones. And then Frederick is going to show this one or two typed out ones that we're going to just put on the board. And then we're just going to end off with a song where we're going to worship. And it's so powerful and awesome to see how God is at work in all of our lives, in our church. And I can just say from my own personal experience this year that God is just so faithful and he's just such a father and so gracious to listen to many of you through tough times, ups and downs, and that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Paul.
Yeah, it's my wife's birthday today. So it's, yes. It's just standing here with the reality of the word that says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And I just want to honor my wife for that today because the word came true in my life. And I sat here this morning and I just realized it. And yes, it's been the worst year and it's been the best year. And yeah, it's so awesome. It's been such a journey and... No, I just thank God. It's just awesome. And, I thought about it this morning because church has had a tough year. And what Prisca said is so profound because I know when Elsa told us they were pregnant, I almost started crying again because it's our family. Yeah. And this is our family. And even if it goes tough, you don't leave. You work it out. And I thank God for that. And my wife has taught me that this year, because when you're married, you definitely don't leave. And like I said, it's been tough, but it's so awesome, because he's just broken up things. And I don't really want to talk about the financial provisions and things, and that's why I just realized, just honoring my wife. You really, just to give you an idea, I started my own department this year. So it's from February till next year, February. And this is not the money that I get, just to explain to you. But next year, February, I need to write $1.2 million for my boss. So I still have about 3 months left. Last month, I was at $1.4 million. So, 6 months in advance, I have $200,000 in advance. So it's just small things, God's just, I've been looking for a secretary for 4 years. Then a woman applied applied to the biggest firm of Vintook. She was definitely going to go there. And they said, sorry, we don't have work for you. Then suddenly she comes and works for me, and like, okay. 4 weeks later, the big firm gives her salary was $11,000 at our firm. then they gave an offer of 20,000. So I was like, ugh, great. How do we match this? Next morning, my boss said, we'll match it, and we change the hours as she wants. So it's just been amazing, but I really feel, because I felt in that moment, it's not about finances. God told me, Paul, she's here for a purpose. And I just prayed into that, and the next morning, my boss increased the salary, and she and her husband's going through a difficult time and things. So I just, yeah, it's just awesome to sit here this morning and reflect on these kind of things. And you know what? I've been struggling with fear for 10 years, but and I'm still not fully through it. But I thank God, you know, but he's brought me to this place. And yeah, just standing here this morning, it was 4 years ago when I remember I cried for 4 minutes at a men's camp. And this is the second time that I've cried in 4 years like this. And God is just good. I'm just so excited. And I just trust through this morning that everybody can just see Jesus has not left the building. And he's here, you know. Yeah, if we can just hold on to that, you know, it's a little fist in the cloud. It's just as big as a fist. But I'm excited about this little fist at this moment. Amen.
Thanks for your honesty, Paul. I think it means a lot to all of us. David, the last one.
Thank you, Carl. Good morning. When I was sitting there and this young lady, not young lady, this woman, I don't know, she talked about faith. And I was just thinking, you know, this was maybe in the last 15 years, this year, 2013, since I came back in May 2013 up till now, was maybe the most difficult time in my whole life. God took me and my family through very, very tough times. Times when I was feeling to give up everything and just not going on. Sometimes I said, God, how could you call me? How could you... why do you allow me to go through all these things? And, you know, I was... I give a testimony last year that when I came back, my company was on its knees just a few weeks ago, I said to one of my pastor's friends that in Kommersdal, I said, you know, this is the hardest klap by die Here my al gegeet. So I feel that God had just smacked me in my head and said, David, you know, I want you to listen. We applied, or a church in Canada called me up again to do ministry full-time there. And we wanted to go all the time. Last year, 2013, I was not ready to go, but now I'm ready to go. I've got my work visa in Canada, but I didn't have my entry visa yet. My wife and I need to leave at the 10th because I have to start on the 27th of December. I should have started in October, the 4th of October, and they got an interim pastor, and if I don't go in now on the 27th, I think they will give the position to somebody else. And we just trust. And when she said, she talked about faith, I've resigned. Got it. The last 4 months, I didn't work. Financially, it go tough. Sarah and her husband were talking about walking. My wife is 55 years old, and there was days that she was walk from school, from... Dorado Park to Olympia. We just live at the other side of what is your name again? Liesel. Sorry, Liesel, I'm getting old, man. So you know how far it so far, and I'm sitting in the office and I'm saying, God, that this can't happen. And then the other thing that but God had take us out through it. And I just praise God for a brother and a friend like Paul who was there. So I was sitting in his office one day. I was just crying, and I said, I can't take it any longer. And Paul was just giving. He just stand up, and he put his hands over my shoulder, and he was just start praying. And I could feel the blessings of God. And I've lost my, I can basically say, I'd lost my farm. I've just sold my farm, a piece of my farm, and we went through very, very difficult times. I was crying. I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to let it go. And then God has just blessed us now with the outcome of this all. And I just know that God is in control. The other big testimony that I want to give is that three of my children are married already, and my youngest daughter met a guy in Canada. And I have a five-point system for my children. The first one, he must be a Christian or she. The second one, he must respect you. The third one, what is his relationship with his mother and his boy other side? And the fourth one is did he have an education? And the fifth one, how strong is his bank balance? And but the most important one was the first one. Did he or she know the Lord? So my daughter met a guy in Canada. He's also in a medical. He's also a doctor. And for a few months, she didn't talk to us. And we were wondering what is going on. And every time when we ask her, listen, is there somebody? She said, no. And then after a few months, she said, Daddy, I need to tell you, I fell in love with this guy, and he respect me. He have all the other 4 points, but the most important point he didn't have, he didn't know the Lord. And I know how do you feel, but for months I fight with it. I trust God to just this feeling in me for loving him, to take it away. And then I said to her, you know, my wife and I, we were very disappointed, but we prayed about it, and God made it very clear to us that it's okay. So they got engaged to be married in next year. And last week she told me, Daddy, you know what? I'm going to church, and he's every time going to a church with me. And he's starting growing spiritually. He's praying. And, you know, I'm so, so thankful. He's such a great guy. He came down. He lived here with us for a month from... And he got engaged here when Darren got married early in September. So I just know that God is busy doing great things for us. Maybe that will be the last time that I will see some of you here. But I know if we don't see each other again, we will see each other in heaven. And because I definitely go, I will go to heaven. That I know. Yeah, so if we want to see each other, we will see each other in heaven then. Because it's only 2-3 weeks, then we're gone. And I really love you all. Carl, thank you for a Christian home in this church. Although I was outside, many times I was visiting other churches, but every time, Shofar just pulling me back here, and I just praise God for you.
David, I have to tell you the good news. Someone told me a while ago about something they call it Skype. So that's an option that we can see each other maybe in future through that thing we call the internet. So hopefully we will be able to talk to each other. But yeah, I want to thank you guys. As many of you have testified, this has been a tough year. And I'm going to be very honest, you know, there's that old joke about the guy who doesn't want to go to the church on the Sunday morning, and then his mom tells him, listen, you have to go to church, and he says, no, mom, I really don't want to go to church, and then his mom tells him, listen, you have to go, you're the pastor. Now, I guess once or twice this year, I felt like that, not because of you guys, you are awesome people, but it has been really a tough year in many ways, and I think we react differently. All of us, I think one of my things is, and it's something we can grow in, is to draw back, you know. It's kind of a self-defense mechanism, I guess, to draw back and work certain things through. And just listening to you, David, Ignatius, Simone, Theo-Anne, Elsa, Carl, Paul especially, you guys, it tells me one thing, and, you know, it really says to my heart relationships are important. Prisca, with Prisca as well. And it's beautiful to hear your hearts. Thank you so much for testifying, for telling what you have been going through this year, through what God has been doing in your life this year. It's amazing. It's really amazing. And, you know, many times I think of the church, and I love the institution of church, and I think what church has gone through the past 2,000 years. And then I just believe with all my heart that Jesus is building his church. And many times I think that when I look at us as humans, I think we really try to mess up the church big time in the last 2,000 years. But then on days like this, I just know it's only God that keeps us standing. by His mercy, by His grace. And I think just listening to our testimonies corporately, whether it was in small groups, at men's camps, at Ablaze, Rundu Missions, wherever, to hear what God is doing. There's so many people out in this world who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, who doesn't believe in God. And I know everything that has been said this morning comes from a place of really honesty and believing. And David, may you be blessed as you go. And all of you guys, I just pray that corporately our testimonies will not become less, but it will increase. No matter whether we are in South Africa, Namibia, wherever, in Windhoek next year, this time, that we will just have more testimonies to share. So praise God for that. I want to encourage you. We're going to stand now. JP is going to lead us. We're going to worship a song. And I want to pray for us. And then you're welcome. There's really nice things to eat there at the back. If we stay longer than 12 o'clock, it's going to melt some, I believe, in our warm, hot Windhoek. So let's just close our eyes and pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for keeping us standing, especially at times when we felt we can't, Lord God. Father, I want to thank you for keeping us walking, Lord God, at times where we felt that we couldn't even crawl, Lord God. Father, I thank you and we worship you and we give all glory and honor and praise to you, Lord God, for every testimony that have been shared this morning, Lord. And Father, I know there's even more testimonies, Lord God, that's in our hearts, in our marriages, in our lives, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that we can live by faith, Lord God. Many times it's so difficult, Lord God, to see over the hill and trust you for the day of tomorrow, Lord God. But thank you, Lord God, that as we have heard this morning, that you are good, Father, Lord God, that you are gracious, Lord God, and that your mercy is so big, Lord God. Father, we also fear you. We love you, Lord God, as a church. And we give everything we have, Lord God, to in a place of thanksgiving. And just telling you, Lord God, thank you that you chose us first, Lord God, and that you love us, Lord God, and nothing can tear us away from your love, Lord God. Father, I pray that the testimonies that have been shared today, Lord God, that we will keep on sharing them tomorrow and the day afterwards, Lord, because it's still powerful and it still gives glory to who you are, Lord. We love you and we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.
Mic check. Hello. Can you guys hear me? Mic check. Oh, thank you. Yes, Lord, thank you, Lord, that Father God, thank you for your covenant, Lord, and Lord, we just want to become deeper worshippers of you every day, Lord, and just live